are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Max and friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back, back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip.
Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night edition of Max and Friends. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. How was your Mother's Day? Tweet me, at Max Tucci. And for all of you mothers out there, happy Mother's Day to you, really. It's a job, isn't it? It is one job that men will never understand. It is a 24/7, 365-day job. I mean, it's nonstop. Every day, every hour, a mother is to be revered. And I love my mother. And so, y'all know that by now. My mother is like, how you doing, Mama G, with cooking with Max and Mama in the kitchen? We do everything together, from travel to talk to hot topics to gossip to love. You know, the good old-fashioned Mama. I don't know, is Mama the right thing to call your mama? Mother, Mama, Mom. What do you call your mom? Tweet me, at Max Tucci. I want to know about it. Tonight we've got a great show because we've got my friend Radha Mehta. She's joining us tonight. Radha Mehta, she's an amazing singer. I met her during Sundance, and if you go to iOnSouthFlorida.com, you can see my interview with her there on the streets of Sundance. We're going to be playing some of her songs tonight, plus Thelonious Monk and Hunter Cross. They're joining me, and we're going to talk about hot topics because there's been so many. And we've got, you know, the Clippers and, of course, Sterling and V and that visor she's wearing. Oh, boy. And Benghazi. We're going to talk about that tonight just to, you know, pass through the hot topics so we can be current. Because we've been doing so much here on Max and Friends, and you all have been tweeting me, are these recorded shows? And no, they're live. And Panache Desai was a live show. Are you doing the 33-day path? Hashtag 33-day path. Join the movement that Panache and I are doing with so many of you out there that are listening and tuning in. We're on day 7. We're growing. We're discovering our soul signature. We had a great time with Panache on the show. You know, purpose, passion, and joy is really what we're all searching for. So I need you all to definitely follow us because it's something in your heart if you feel, you know, do what you all want to do. But tune in to Max and Friends every Sunday night. Get the free LA Talk Radio app. Should we just like have my mom come on the show now because it's about time? How you doing, Mama?
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
How was that for an intro?
A big one, I would say. I just saw you about a half an hour ago, but it's nice to talk to you again.
You know, there's so much going on. I mean, you know, we were talking about hot topics, and did you hear about Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon? They might be divorcing. What do you think about that? Do you care?
What? No, I couldn't care less.
What? Now, listen, because it's Mother's Day, and you have seen the world, literally, you've seen the world. We'll give just a little bit of your backstory. You were born in Lithuania, escaped during the war, lived in a DP camp, and then in Germany, and then ended up in Brooklyn, and then you've been from Lithuania, from displaced person camps, to villas and castles, to owning your own villa in Italy, to really just living life to the max, which is what we talk about all the time. But, you know, your soul signature, like everyone's, is so important because it's your spiritual DNA, and you really had such an incredible path. What is your advice on this journey that we call life that you want to tell people?
Oh, my goodness. You want me to tell you that in 2 minutes?
Well, give us some advice.
Well, the advice that I can give is to never give up. Nothing is over. I think you have to have joy in your life. And I think you have to love the people that are around you. And also, I know a lot has been said about forgiveness, but I do believe, and my father taught me this a long, long time ago, that you do have to forgive people who have hurt you or harmed you, although it's a very difficult thing to do. But down in deep your heart, once you do forgive, you do feel that lightness, and I think you live a happier life.
Wow. It's true. You do live your life. What are some of the exciting things that you've done in your life, Mama?
Well, giving birth to you was very exciting. It was on Valentine's Day. And, of course, one of my ex-boyfriends sent I don't know how many dozens of roses. And I had to get rid of them before your father came. So that was a very exciting moment. I don't think I'll ever forget that as long as I live. I mean, there were like 1,000 red roses delivered to my room, lying in hospital in New York. And my God, I said, you know, Mario is coming, my Italian husband, who's very jealous. Oh, it was an incredible moment. And I think everybody in the hospital was very happy to receive red roses from an anonymous sender. So that was very exciting. I don't know, a lot of things have been exciting in my life. My career was very exciting. I met a lot of fascinating and interesting people, and one of all that you always hear the story about Cary Grant, how I met him and how he held my hand, and meeting Elizabeth Taylor at a cocktail party, and I was nursing your sister then at the time, and I think we spent an hour talking about nursing, and it's been a marvelous life. I'm very grateful. And I was thinking of that today when I was in church, that, you know, I have to be so grateful to my parents because they persevered and they had
courage.
Courage, and they had faith. They had a tremendous amount of faith, knowing that, you know, their life was not over, even though it looked like it was over. And because of them, I think, you know, I have gotten a bit of that, although at times you do get tired, you know, and you say, well, you know, is it worth this and is it worth that? But it is, and you just carry on, and you have to remember that you have to have joy, and you have to do that yourself. Nobody can do it for you.
That's the truth. No one can give you joy. I think we're born with joy, and what happens is that people snuff it, but don't let anybody steal your joy. That's what I always say, you know?
And enjoy
Don't let anybody
everything
steal
in
your
life.
Joy. Yeah.
Yes,
well, you know what? Listen.
Enjoy
what, one another.
Enjoy one another and enjoy the wonderful things that people do. Like today, we had such a wonderful, wonderful luncheon, and everything was so beautiful. And those, and you know, little things like that, the way the salmon looked, everything was just beautiful.
And you forgot to take your order.
I know, but I have the perfect place for it. But anyway, that's what I mean about enjoying it. I mean, like little things, like the way that salmon looked, and the way the table was dressed. Those are the things that you enjoy, and you feel the love that people have done it for you.
Well, you know, it's all out of love that we do it. But before, you know, I'm going to let you run because we're going to have you on. I'm watching. Oh, Mom. Oh, hold on, everybody. Hey, this is between Mother and I. So I got the email from the show we did, Eye on the People, you know, with Tommy Rose. So it's just a rough edit. It is so, like, I can't take it. It's so amazing.
I can't wait to see it.
Yes, you have to come over tomorrow and you'll see it. And then I was thinking, I have to do an Eye on the People on my mother.
Absolutely.
Yes, we have to sit down one-on-one and have a good conversation.
Yes. Well, that's for sure. I mean, you know, I have a lot to say between the time I remember, like around 3 years old in Germany, and until now, there's a lot has happened in between those years.
They have, and it's 11:11 on the East Coast, everybody, so make a wish. Hey, everyone, keep tweeting me, at Max Tucci. I love that Meganella calls her mama, mama, and that you had a great Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. So today, Mom, I wrote this thing. I was thinking about Mother's Day and about women and everything, and this is what came to mind. So this is for you, and it's for all the mothers out there, even if you never gave birth, but you mothered somebody, because I think women just have that natural instinct to be a mother. So I wrote this, and tell me what you think about it. There is no love like a mother's love, no touch like a mother's touch. There is no connection deeper between two beings than that of a mother and a child. 9 months of developing in her wombs, we know our mothers just as well as they know us. Today, let us celebrate the love, touch, and connection we share with the divine spirits we call mother.
Oh, that's so touching, Max. That's beautiful. Well, I expect something like that from you.
Well, thank you.
You're wonderful.
And I know Machuta's not here with us, but you know, every day I'm like, hey, Machuta, how you doing? That's my grandmother. So I encourage all of you tonight who are listening that if the woman you love in your life, your mother, your grandmother, whoever she is no longer with you, you need to say their name, because every time you say their name, their spirit shall live. It rises, doesn't it, Mom?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The spirit rises when you say its name.
Very true.
Well, I love Mama. We got to get on with this show because we're going to have hot topics tonight with Thelonious Monk, and we're going to have Hunter Cross here. We're going to talk about Benghazi, and we're going to talk about the whole V and Sterling and the Clippers and that visor. Mom, you remember that kooky visor she always wore? V, you know, she's the one who, like, you know, ratted on the Clippers, the mistress.
Yeah.
And she has that visor. I bought them. I found them. They're on eBay for like $12. I'm obsessed with that visor.
Oh, God, Max.
Yes, I bought two of them. You're going to wear one, and I'm going to wear one. We're going to have the roof down for that visor.
Okay. All right.
Listen. Yeah.
Thank you so much for today, sweetheart. And I wish every mother and mother-to-be and godmother and grandmother and every woman a big happy Mother's Day, and let's love one another.
Is that your advice for tonight? Love one another, right?
Yes.
I like that. It's part of our soul signature.
And be kind. Be kind and love one another. And that's my message, okay? And I love you dearly, my darling son.
I love you.
And Nikki too, my darling daughter. Happy Mother's Day. And love to all.
I love you, Mama.
Love you too, sweetheart. Have a great show.
Thank you.
Okay, good
Sir
night.
Everyone, that was a glimpse into my life with my mother, and it's like that every day. Mama, this is Radha Mehta's song, I Will Always Love You. Can we play it now? And when we're back, Hunter Cross and Thelonious Monk are giving you hot topics. But now, my guest who's coming on after them, Radha Mehta, I Will Always Love You. Hit it.
You're standing with roses at my doorstep. Raindrops falling on your beautiful face. You don't know what's about to hit you. Give me a sec. Please forgive me. I pray you take this with grace. You see, I've been thinking about us. I'm stressed. We've been down this road before twice now, babe. I can't take this anymore. Can you love me less? Please know it's not your fault. Listen when I say. myself in the midst of this chase. You had the strength within to release me. Please know it's not your fault. Listen when I say.
This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Sushi. We're just getting our next guest on. That's why the phone is ringing in the background. Hunter Cross is joining us. Felonious Monk is already here. How you doing, Felonious Monk?
I'm great. It's finally warm in Chicago.
Finally warm in Chicago. Well, it's getting warm here tonight at Max and Friends. Hey, Hunter, are you with us? Hunter, are you here or not?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Now we can hear you. All right, okay. So you know what we're getting ready for? Hot Topics. Hit it.
Hey, y'all, guys and girls. Pick a topic and you know we're going to drop it on.
Because you know we're going to drop it on Max and Friends. Before, that was Radameda singing I Will Always Love You, and she's going to join us after Hot Topics. But we've got to talk to Felonious Monk and Hunter Cross because there's been so much going on in the world today, and it's just crazy. So, Hunter, I'm going to turn this over to you right now because we should start with clearly. You and I had this conversation last week about the whole Sterling and the whole racism and V. But before we talk about V, I got to talk about those crazy, amazing sun visors that she's wearing because I had to buy them. I think they're off the chain.
Mm-hmm.
But, Hunter, what's going on and what is your theory about this whole Sterling and the Clippers and the racism?
Well, it's interesting to me. I think we've come full circle where we've become intolerant of intolerance, and I'm not sure whether or not means that we're becoming healthier about race in this country, or whether we're just becoming more of race baiters. And I'm also concerned about our lack of ability to be able to have private thoughts and express ourselves in ways that might not be politically correct, that might even be evidence of our being an asshole. But we're entitled to sometimes be an asshole, and we're entitled to sometimes say things that aren't appropriate.
All right, speaking of, hold that thought. I got to say this right now, that if there's any children in the room, because I know Megan has got her kids listening, take them out of the room at this point. Sorry. He dropped a word, and now we got to get the kids out the room. So, all right, continue. So, the thoughts you fear.
Well,
that
what I'm saying is this whole thing about Sterling, if we're talking about the Clippers situation, is
it came
about because he was recorded in his own home talking to someone who he thought he could trust, his girlfriend, who's in his home,
who's half black.
Well, no matter what her race is, I mean, yeah, I get it. That somehow makes it seem better if he was being a racist to somebody who is of that race. But that's not even the point. The point is that he's saying things, and even if they're despicable, and even if most of us would condemn someone for thinking or saying things this way, you certainly have a right to talk about things that might be unsavory or that some other people might not find appropriate in your own home.
Hold that thought. Felonious, what do you have to say about Hunter? Y'all, take the conversation.
I think Hunter's right. The problem here is, I think the outrage, and to go to his first point, which is that we've come to a point where we're intolerant of the intolerant. And I, you know, there's a certain amount of that that is healthy. There's a certain amount of that that says, hey, it is cool that the bigots are now the ones who feel uncomfortable in their skin. But beyond that, and I think Bomani Jones from ESPN probably did the best commentary I've seen on it, the bigger issue with Sterling should have been that in 2009, he was convicted of housing discrimination, which is systemic racism, which is a lot worse to me personally than you not liking me. I don't really care if you don't like me. I don't have a problem with people being racist in their thoughts or in their words. When it becomes a problem is when you are in a position of authority and you discriminate in housing and discriminate in education and discriminate in how you're going to employ people. That's the difference. But this did come about because he was taped. And apparently he agreed to be taped because he says he forgets things. But from what I understand now is this was released because there is a lawsuit pending against her. And so now, you know, this has been politicized because this is a guy with a high profile. He's got a lot of money. He basically owns a team full of black players, and the black players heard about it. And now they don't want to play for him. So now the NBA wants the act, and now everyone is offended. I think it is interesting that no one was really offended 3 or 4 years ago. No one was pushing to get him kicked out of the league 3 or 4 years ago when he was convicted by the Department of Justice of something a lot more heinous, in my opinion, than saying, I don't want Magic Johnson or black people at my game.
That's right. That's right. Where was the NBA and all of the outrage when he was actually found to have done something that it was in fact against the law? I mean, he was discriminating in housing. Here, if you had had a number of players, if you had black players who weren't being paid as well as white players, if you had him discriminating against hiring black players in favor of white players of lesser skill, any of those things would be illegal and discriminatory, and he should be properly sanctioned for that. What I find troubling is that this was private conversation and private thoughts. He's allowed to be a bigot. There isn't anything illegal about being a bigot. What's illegal and what we hope ultimately will cause people to be less bigoted because they're exposed to people of other races and other cultures. And as we get more exposed to those people because there are laws against discriminating against them in the workplace and what have you, then, yeah, racial discrimination will start to fade. You know, we find there were times when, you know, even probably to this day, if you live in Ireland, there is an intense dislike between the Catholics and the Protestants, and for historical reasons. But we know we're in this country, and probably in other parts of Europe, they find that really kind of odd because they look all the same to us here. People, you know, of all races and people discriminate against people because of their color and what have you. And we, I think, as a culture, have gotten to a point where we find that wrong. As a culture, we have considered it wrong. But that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to have private thoughts and express yourself to somebody, or maybe even make jokes that are off color in your own home or among your friends. Where do we draw the line? Where are our private thoughts somehow not going to cause us to get our jobs lost if they are in fact private thoughts and then we're not translating them into somehow something that's discriminatory where people's jobs are at risk or where we're not providing services to them or something like that?
I think to the bigger point is, and the privacy issue is an issue, but again, I have sense enough to know that if I say it's okay for you to take me, I'm kind of afraid at that point that whatever I say can eventually at some point be used against me. Now, I don't know why he agreed to be taped in his own home having a private conversation. That's weird in and of itself. But, you know, his explanation is he forgets things from time to time. Listen, there are things that I say to my friends that are horrible things. They know my intent. They know my character well enough. There are things that I can say to white friends of mine, Asian friends of mine, Latin friends of mine. And this is where the argument comes in. Someone says, well, I have black friends. Well, yeah, but there are things that you can say to your black friends that they understand because they are your friends that you can't say in a group of strangers. And you don't say them not because you're worried about someone calling you racist, but because people don't know your intent. People don't know your character. People don't know where you're coming from. You don't say those things in the wider public. Here's a time where even the young lady, and she's got her own issues, I'm sure, but even the young lady says, I don't think he's racist in my heart. Well, then how did you take those statements. And if you didn't take those statements, it raised.
Hold
racist,
on, but let's talk about V real quick. Let's talk about V real quick saying that. This is after he bought her a Ferrari, two Bentleys, a $1.5 right. million condominium, Hermes bags. She's doing her thing. She's got people wearing her V Siviano hat while she's wearing the visor. All of a sudden, right. in her heart, she doesn't feel that because she's getting what to say that? Right. You don't think he's paying her to say this?
I mean, and if you go even farther than that, I mean, that whole relationship is kind of weird, allegedly. So her lawyer says they're not in a relationship. They're not boyfriend and girlfriend. There's no sexual relationship. Then further tapes come out where he says, I was just trying to have sex, and this was a conversation where I was trying to sleep with. It's so much extra stuff that goes with it. But again, as a organization, the NBA under David Stern, overlooked this for years. They overlooked how he treated Elgin Baylor. They overlooked that Elgin Baylor for years was getting paid less than his lesser. You know, this is the guy who's the GM of your organization, and he's getting paid less than scouts, or he's getting paid. You know what I mean? So there were a lot of times there the NBA did nothing for years and years and years. And let's just talk turkey. If you're going to get rid of him and leave the wife in charge, and she's cheering all of this on, she was a big part of that discrimination case. She was going door to door and pretending to be illegally posing as a census agent so that she could find out the race and ethnicities of the people living there. So these things are way more troubling than him saying that he doesn't want a black person in his game. And if we're being honest, if you say, I'm okay with you sleeping with Magic Johnson, but I have a problem with you taking a picture with him or going to a game with him, there's some type of weirdness in your thought process that you're okay with her having sex with a man who's married, who has HIV, there are a number of reasons why I would have more of a problem with my girlfriend sleeping with Magic Johnson than taking a picture with him. So, you know.
But hold on. Because, Hunter, what was your point today when we spoke about this earlier?
Well, I think what has you hit on a good point, Felonious, and that is that a lot of the whether something gets branded as racist or not racist has to do with whether there's venom behind the words. You know, if you listen to so many musicians' music today, and you listen to the lyrics and the hostility, the name calling, the self-loathing that you listen to, you hear, or at least from my perspective, I hear it in the lyrics. You know, it's acceptable in the hip hop community to use the N-word and to use degrading rhetoric about the lifestyle, and yet there isn't any. It's not. There's no venom behind it. It's right. It's art. It's whatever. There are excuses that are made for why those people can use those terms and yet others can't. So it isn't really so much that the words are the problem. It's the venom behind it. You know, Louis C.K. did a routine about the word Jew. He goes, you know, I'm always afraid to use the word Jew because if you put just a little bit of stink on it, it can be really hostile. He goes, oh, that guy's a Jew, or that guy's a Jew. So it depends on whether you put a stink on it or whether there's venom behind what you're saying. And so we don't really know, and I'm not defending this guy Sterling, because right. from all accounts, he seems like a scumbag. But I'm saying that the bigger issue is whether or not we are free to say things, whether or not they're being taped or not, just – what if he has like a kinky thing going on with his girlfriend where he calls her the N-word or he calls her a bitch, he calls her whatever, and he lets her record it because they like to play it back and, you know, have their little fun with it? Why is that wrong? And who are we to judge these people?
Well, and there's – so two pieces to that. The first piece being there's so much of this that's because of the courts, because there's a lawsuit. And we got to remember there's a wife here who – pretty much jointly owns everything that he owns. So he lavished these gifts on this woman, but the wife didn't agree to lavishing these gifts. So the wife's suit is basically saying, hey, I didn't agree to you getting $2 million of my money or $2 million worth of stuff out of my money. I want my stuff back. The girl's saying, well, your husband gave it to me. She's saying, well, my husband doesn't have the authority to spend our money without my agreement. So that side of it is,
And meanwhile, they've got billions of dollars. Isn't that unbelievable?
But wait, hold on. But now, real quick, because Hunter, what were you saying, though, about why he doesn't want her to bring, quote-unquote, black people to his games? What were you saying earlier? Because it was really funny.
Oh, well, because I think that he's jealous. He's an old, he's an 81-year-old man who's trying to have sex with this young girl, and he's jealous of all these hot young black studs that he thinks she's hanging around with. He's afraid that she's going to want to take one.
Exactly. That's exactly what's happening. And it plays into the old stereotypes of, you know, black male penis size. That's part of it. This is part of what he's thinking. I don't want you with these big penis buck Negro guys, because he's an 80-year-old guy. And you heard in the conversation, he said, listen,
well, the odds are he's right.
Wrong, but I can't change it.
But the odds are, that means we're going to move on from this topic. We're going to move on from this topic. But the odds are, no matter how well hung those basketball Negro quote-unquote players are, they're not buying her Ferraris and Bentleys. So whatever she's doing, girl, do your thing. I think a lot of girls should look up to her, just like I think a lot of girls should look up to Anna Nicole Smith. Get these old men, because if they're willing to give it and all you got to do is some freaky shit, do your thing. Moving on a real topic. Yeah, what?
No, I don't agree with that. I don't disagree with that. I will say this, though. When you make those types of decisions, these are the types of things that happen. You make those decisions, you say, hey, I'm willing to do this.
That's right.
To do that.
That's right.
And
but if you lay down with dogs, you wake up. So you got to accept that.
You wake up with fleas. You go to bed with the dogs, wake up with the fleas. But you know
what?
Make
sure you want to hang with me? You want my Ferraris?
Yep. Make sure you go on eBay and get that visor if you're going to do it, because it is the ultimate paparazzi shield. Oh my God. I bought two of them. I can't take it. It is the greatest paparazzi shield. It doesn't just cover like sunglasses, your eyes. It covers your face. Oh my God. But I love her. I love her doing it. Listen, I want to talk about Benghazi, but kind of not really, because to me it's like old news. What's really important, we've got to talk about this since it's Mother's Day and women and mothers. There are over 200 mothers in Nigeria right now crying for their daughters. Felonious, what are your thoughts on the whole kidnapping in Nigeria?
So Boko Haram is so bad that Al-Qaeda says, we don't agree with what you're doing. How horrible as a terrorist organization do you have to be for the axis of evil, the worst terrorist organization, and based on the propaganda that we've heard, that the United States has ever seen, for Al-Qaeda to say, whoa, that's a lie. When Satan comes out of the ground and says, Jesus, man, y'all are going too far.
That's alleged with Al-Qaeda, because it's not like all of a sudden we're getting faxes from them and emails like Al-Qaeda saying, how you doing? That was wrong. And here's our next plot. But I think you got to call a thing a thing. Hunter, what's the thing that we got to call with this whole Nigerian kidnapping issue?
Well, I think the bigger issue here is not the kidnapping. The bigger issue is that there is institutional prejudice against women, and it's not even prejudice. There is institutional anti-women policy. Women are chattel. Women should not be educated, because there's no reason to educate your kitchen table. I mean, that's that in Islam, in radical Islam, and all right, I'm going to give email. Not everybody who practices.
I'm going to get the emails. And these are Hunter's thoughts, not mine.
Not everybody who practices the Muslim faith believes this. But there are countries, for example, in Iran, which is, little by little, when the Shah was in control of Iran, there was lots of Western influence, and there was lots of education of women and lots of freedoms that women had never before experienced. And now that the radical clerics have taken over the government in Iran, they have re-implemented things about women covering their head. They used to be able to wear colorful scarves. Now you could be arrested if you're a woman wearing a colorful scarf. You need to be wear a black scarf. So
what's your point on the whole kidnapping?
My point is that these people believe, and they are taught, that their faith entitles them to take these women because they are being educated, and that is inconsistent with their religious beliefs. It is inconsistent with what they have been taught to be correct. And if we're going to simply say, well, we can't criticize their faith, because we just don't criticize faiths, that's not who we are, that's absolute bullshit. We need to criticize the faiths that have such radical points of view that they deny people basic human rights. And that's what radical Islam does.
Period. Leave it at that.
And I'm glad you pointed
Bring
that
it up.
Out.
I'm going to okay, give you – hold on. I'm going to give you the last word because we got to wrap this segment up. So give us the last word, Felonious Monk.
I'm just glad you said that because, for example, Westboro Baptist Church is a perfect example of a Christian organization that we know enough about Christianity to say that's not what we believe Christianity to be. And the issue with radical Islam is in this country, we don't have enough knowledge of Islam, or it's not widespread enough for people to be able to say, I recognize that that's not really what Muslims do. And so for 3 weeks, these girls went missing, and we kind of look at Nigeria and that area, and we don't think about the fact that there are 500,000 children soldiers, and most of them are little African kids that are being snatched up from their families and villages, and the women, the little girls, 12, 13 years old, are being sold as sex slaves. We don't think about it because it's far enough away. It's a strange religion to us. There's tribal practices, and we think of these people as savages. But reality is that's not what Africa is for the most part. Nigeria is not like that. Kenya is not like that. But when you see something like this, it's easy for us to ignore it because we've got this picture in our head. Well, that's just how things are over there. And so we allowed it to happen for a long time. I can't imagine this could have happened in any other country. And it's not even just black. I can't imagine this could have happened in any other country in the world or any other continent in the world other than Africa, and it takes 3 weeks for someone to give it.
Oh, I think it could happen in North Korea. We would never know. I got to have you guys back because I think North Korea, it happens.
It could happen in Pakistan.
It could happen in North Korea, and we wouldn't know.
But you know what? That is true. But here's the thing, unless we called up Dennis Rodman. We got to wrap this up. The bottom line is, if this happened 10 years ago, we wouldn't know about it. That's why exactly what happened. You know, when there was the genocides in Rwanda, if there was social media during the genocides, we would have been in there sooner and millions of people wouldn't have died. So the point is, social media, even though people are saying it's not social anymore because we're not talking to our friends face to face, but it's outing global issues. On that note, guys, that was Hot Topics. Hunter Cross, Felonious Monk, thanks so much. Hot Topics, when we're back, Radha Mehta is joining us. I will rise. We will all rise. And hopefully these girls will be brought home. Thanks for listening to Max and Friends. We'll be right back. That was Hot Topics. Hit it.
Hey, y'all, guys and girls. Pick a topic and you know we're gonna drop it on.
I'm not afraid to die.
see. Electrifies, electrifies.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your guest. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was the song I Will Rise. My next guest, Radha Mehta, is an award-winning pop and electronic singer-songwriter who has opened for acts such as Fleetwood Mac and the Gin Blossoms. She's performed the national anthem at over 10 NBA games across the country. How cool is that? You all heard her on iHeartRadio as Artist to Watch, along with Iconic Pop and Krawalla for her music project. Ooh, we gotta talk about the music. We've got so much to talk about. You all know her from MTV. She's been all over the place. You've been like all over the place, Radha Mehta, including Ion South Florida, including on Max and Friends. So pull up your mic and welcome the Recording Academy, National Academy of Recording Artists and Science. I just can't get over all of this that I'm reading. Welcome back to Max and Friends for your first time you're here. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I love that you're here. I'm sorry. It's like I am so crazy from Hot Topics. We were just talking during your song, I Will Rise. It was heated. I'm just trying to like gather my brain back to sanity because there's such insanity. Now, tell us about your life. Like, there's so much going on with your life, talking about like insane. How do you keep it all sane? How do you keep yourself all together and so beautiful and elegant in such a crazy world?
Well, thanks for saying that. Probably behind the scenes is not as beautiful just because I'm kind of running all over the place. But yeah, you know, I think this is where I kind of turn to my support system, my family and my close friends. Well, I would say my mom, dad, and my brother for sure. My brother is like my creative partner and pretty much partner in life in the sense of anything, you know, the projects that we worked on. And he's always kept me very balanced, and my dad and my mom as well. And considering today's Mother's Day, I got to say happy Mother's Day. Give a shout out to my mom, the most amazing woman in my life. So, but yeah, they keep it, you know, they definitely give me perspective. Like when I feel like, oh, I haven't done good, you know, done well enough in this or that, you know, why is this happening? Why is this happening? They're like, you know, patience is a virtue. And you know, they keep me in check, and that's a good thing. And I think it's important for all artists or anyone out there to have that support system that they can turn to because you need it. I know.
It's like then all of a sudden it's like all this tragedy happens when you don't have that backbone of a good mother, good family, good friends, and your brother who I was listening in tonight because you all are tweeting it up like a storm. It's fantastic. Now, we met during Sundance Film Festival, and tell us why you were at Sundance because that was you were there for a good reason.
Yeah, so I had an opportunity to perform there, and I found out like about a month and a half before Sundance. And, you know, I had never been to Sundance before, but I, of course, hear about all the great things that, you know, all the things that happened there. And I was like, man, this would be such an awesome opportunity. So I went out there and I performed as part of Coffee House, and it's a production studio. And we actually, you know, it was a great group that was out there, and just other talented artists as well. And it was just, you know, the first time experience to say that, actually performed at Sundance is just an amazing thing. And you know, the rest of the time I got to just kind of explore what Sundance was all about, and it was definitely a worthwhile trip. And it was cold, considering I'm a Florida girl, but,
Florida
I definitely
girl.
Kept warm. Yep.
You did keep warm. And, you know, if you want to see our interview, you can go to iOnSouthFlorida.com. Radamed and I, we have a fun interview. We caught up on the streets of Sundance. So tell us about your album, Rise, because it's available now on iTunes. So everyone, go to iTunes, get Rise, get all these songs. I'm getting a little little messages in between, like our talking, and they're like, "I love her music." So everyone loves your music here at LA Talk Radio. But tell us about Rise and how it rose,
how it
happened. Yes.
Yeah. So we released it, mid last year, and it's just been such an awesome journey since. But basically, a lot of these songs were in the works for the last 10 years or so. When my brother told me that you can't just be a singer, you got to be a songwriter as well. And I just really explored into that realm. And so a lot of these kind of started out as poems. And then what happened was I think it was 2 years ago, my brother had written this graphic novel on the story of Nikola Tesla, this famous inventor. And it launched at Comic-Con, and it was like a big hit there. And he was just really inspired that, okay, let's finally put an album together that kind of talks to the story of Nikola Tesla, but it's applicable to everyone, and put an electronic twist to it. And so we did that, and he's my producer as well as my manager, my everything. But he did that, and we worked on it together. So a lot of these songs kind of originally started out as like just soul acoustic, because that's been mostly my genre for most of my life, in the way I sing. But when he added a twist to it, and just kind of it opened us up to a whole different genre. And I've always loved electronic music and, of course, pop music. But we did that, and we launched it. And there's a story behind it, not only on the story of Nikola Tesla.
Where can people see the story?
So our electronic project is Renaissance, and it's spelled Renaissance. And the story itself, you can see it on the InventorSeries.com, and that's like the graphic novel. And we did a music video to our song, our lead single, I Will Rise, and that's to the story of the inventor. So,
absolutely. Now, you have licensed original music for 11 TV shows, including Keeping Up with the Kardashians and so many other stuff. Like, it's blowing my mind. I'm reading all of these wonderful things about you. I see your tweets and stuff. People who love you. And now you're going to be performing at the biggest music festival in Europe, which is the Exit Festival. Tell us about it.
So about the licensing, that is like always really tough work, because you've just got to know different music supervisors, and they have to love your music in order to even consider it. So that took us a year of relationship building just to be even heard. But once we got it, we got a licensing deal for 11 TV shows, and we just heard recently that two of our songs got played on the season finale of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and actually you played one of those songs, I Will Always Love You. So that was super great news for us, and we're still kind of going along that path, trying to get our music licensed for films and stuff. But Exit Festival, we are super stoked about that. So we actually received an award by this major science foundation for our song I Will Rise, and because of the tribute that we had to inventor Nikola Tesla. And one of the guys that was also a recipient of the award is a founder of Exit Festival, and he was there, and he watched me perform, and he says, "Hey, let's work on getting you to Exit Festival." And we're like, "Hell yeah!" And at the moment, I had heard about Exit Festival, but I thought it was going to be a while before I could ever get to that level. And he actually was like, "Let's do it." And so I'm actually going to be part of their opening ceremony, because it just so turns out that they're going to be having that festival during Tesla's birthday in Serbia, which is where Tesla is from. So it's just like so many coincidences. It all just kind of came together, and it was so beautifully masterminded.
Once the flow just weaves together, the tapestry of your life is displayed on the wall, and you have a beautiful tapestry that's growing. Where can people find your music?
Definitely on iTunes, and then also on our electronic project, renaissance.com. But if you were to look on iTunes, there would be a quick link would be smarturl.it/renaissance, R-E-N-A-I-S-Z-A-N-C-E.
Better yet, you know what you're going to do? Follow Radhameta, R-A-M-E-H-T-A, at Radhameta. Follow her there. Get all of her information there. Radha, we're going to have you back. Hot Topics just took over, because obviously when you talk about Nigeria and the whole thing, you know, it just gets heated. But I want to have you back, because you are touching the sky. And, like, you know what I say? The sky's not the limit when there's footprints on the moon. So keep doing your thing, Radhameta. We love you here at Max and Friends. We're going to play your music from time to time, too, because I'm getting so many people asking for it. They're like, I love her music. It's great for the gym. So keep on doing your thing. Thank you so much for joining me. I want to play at least like 30 seconds, please, guys, of her song. So I'm going to let you run. I'm going to call you after the show so we can just catch up real quick.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being here on Max and Friends. Have a great night, Radhameta, everyone.
All right.
Happy Mother's Day. All right. I love you all for listening. Good night. Good karma. Love one another, people. And keep going on the 33-day path. Hashtag 33-day path with Panache Desai. Radhameta, thank you. My mommy, I love you. Hunter Cross, Felonious Monk, thank you all. Touch the sky, Radhameta, and Max and Friends. Have a great week, everyone. Take life to the max. Good night and good karma. Touch the sky.